Today I am signing an executive order to create a fair, open, streamlined system of regulatory review for our government, to eliminate improper influence, delay, secrecy, and to set tough standards and time limits for regulation.
That was President Bill Clinton on September 30th, 1993, shortly before signing an executive order that would quickly become one of the most consequential documents in modern American government. It didn't make the front page, and most Americans have never heard of it. But since 1981, a roughly 50-person office, operating on a $16 million annual budget, has reviewed over 48,000 federal rules and modified nearly 38% of them before they ever reach the public. Every single federal regulation you've ever encountered, from food safety labels to emission standards to financial disclosures, has been shaped by this process. This is Executive Order 12866, and today we're going to break it down. Welcome to Regulation Roundup, the podcast. I'm Tanner Long. On this show, we break down the federal regulatory process and discuss how rules actually get made in Washington, who has power over them, and why it all matters. Today's episode is the foundation of the regulatory process. If you want to understand how the federal government regulates, you have to start with Executive Order 12866. So, to understand why Clinton signed this order, we need to go back a couple of decades. Presidential oversight of federal regulations isn't a new concept. President Nixon started what was called the Quality of Life Review back in 1971, requiring agencies to submit environmental and safety regulations for OMB scrutiny before publication. President Ford formalized it further with Executive Order 11821 in 1974 to require agencies to prepare inflation impact statements for major rules. And President Carter extended the framework with Executive Order 12044 in 1978 to require broader regulatory analysis, including alternatives and economic consequences. But the real game changer came in 1981. President Reagan signed Executive Order 12291, which created a formal requirement. Before any major rule could be published, the agency had to prove that the benefits outweighed the costs. And the office responsible for checking that math? The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, or OIRA, a small office inside the Office of Management and Budget within the Executive Office of the President. OIRA has actually been formally created just a year earlier by the Paperwork Reduction Act of 1980, which originally focused on reducing federal paperwork burdens. Reagan transformed it into a regulatory gatekeeper. And it was effective. But critics like consumer advocates and environmental groups argued that the process was being used as a weapon, that cost-benefit analysis was just a way to delay or kill regulations that industry didn't like, systematically downplaying benefits while emphasizing costs. And the whole process happened behind closed doors. OIRA meetings with outside stakeholders were secretive. There was no public disclosure of who was lobbying for what. By the time Clinton took office in 1993, the system needed a reset. So Clinton signed Executive Order 12866 on September 30th, 1993, and it did several important things. First, it kept the regulatory review structure. Agencies still have to submit significant rules to OIRA for review before they can be published. That part didn't change. But Clinton redefined what made a rule significant and worth reviewing. Under Executive Order 12866, a rule triggers full OIRA review if it meets any one of the four criteria. 1. It has an annual effect on the economy of $100 million or more. These are called economically significant rules. 2. It creates a serious inconsistency with actions taken by another agency. 3. It materially alters the budgetary impacts of federal programs like entitlements, grants, or loans. Or 4. It raises novel legal or policy issues arising out of the president's priorities. That $100 million threshold is the line that separates a routine rule from one that gets White House scrutiny. Federal agencies publish roughly 3,000 to 4,000 rules per year. But of those, only a few hundred reach the significant threshold to go through OIRA review. And for 30 years, that $100 million number didn't change. Until Biden raised it to $200 million in 2023, which was the first adjustment since 1993. Trump then brought it back down to $100 million on his first day in office in January 2025. Second, Clinton required transparency. When outside groups meet with OIRA about a rule under review, those meetings have to be disclosed. That was a direct response to the criticism of the Reagan era, where industry lobbyists could influence the rule behind closed doors without anyone knowing. Third, the order requires agencies to do a regulatory impact analysis for significant rules. That means identifying the problem the rule is trying to solve, considering alternatives, quantifying costs and benefits where possible, and justifying why the agency chose its approach. And fourth, OIRA has 90 days to complete its review. Extensions of up to 30 additional days are allowed, but the clock creates accountability. In practice, proposed rules have averaged about 94 days in review over the last decade. But for highly contested rules, the ones with heavy lobbying and interagency disagreement, reviews can stretch well beyond a year. So what actually happens when a rule lands on OIRA's desk? When an agency, say the EPA or FDA, finishes drafting a proposed or final rule, they submit it to OIRA through a system called ROCIS, the Risk-OIRA Combined Information System. RISC stands for the Regulatory Information Service Center. Once it's in the door, a few things happen. First, OIRA circulates the rule to other relevant White House offices and federal agencies. If the EPA is proposing an emissions rule that could affect energy costs, you can bet the Department of Energy and the National Economic Council are going to want to weigh in. Second, stakeholders get involved. Industry groups and nonprofits, law firms, and members of the public all can request meetings with OIRA to make their case for or against the rule. And thanks to Executive Order 12866's transparency requirements, those meetings are publicly disclosed. Since 2014, OIRA has logged over 7,700 stakeholder meetings with nearly 90,000 individual attendees. Third, there's negotiation. OIRA desk officers, who are the career staff who specialize in specific policy areas, go back and forth with the agency. They might push back on the cost-benefit analysis, they might flag legal concerns, and they might suggest changes based on what they've heard from other agencies or stakeholders. And then OIRA makes a decision. The data across all administrations shows that about 54%, more than 26,000 rules, are cleared without changes. But nearly 38%, or over 18,000 rules, are cleared with modifications, meaning OIRA changed something. About 4% are withdrawn by the agency, and less than 1%, just a little over 430 rules total, are formally returned, which is essentially OIRA saying, go back to the drawing board. Now here's an interesting trend in the data. Formal returns have effectively disappeared. The Bush administration used them 33 times, Obama 3 times. In Trump 1.0, Biden, and Trump 2.0, zero. Returns create a public paper trail. Instead, the far more common outcome today is that agencies modify rules during a review in response to OIRA feedback, and the rule is cleared consistent with change, which is the same substantive outcome, but without the transparency. That 38% modification rate is the number that matters, though. It tells you that OIRA isn't just a rubber stamp. It's actively shaping the content of federal regulations. Now, let me give you a concrete example of how this plays out. In 2017, Congress passed a law directing the FDA to create an over-the-counter category for hearing aids. The goal was to make hearing aids cheaper and more accessible by allowing them to be sold without a prescription. The FDA spent years drafting the rule internally. When it was ready, they submitted the proposed rule to OIRA on August 18, 2021. OIRA reviewed it for 44 days and cleared it. but with modifications. That means OIRA changed something in the proposed rule before it went out for public comment. After the public comment period, the FDA revised the rule and submitted the final version to OIRA on July 8, 2022. This time, OIRA cleared it in just 28 days, also with modifications, but the faster turnaround suggests there was less to negotiate. The final rule took effect on October 17, 2022. And now you can walk into a retail store and buy hearing aids over the counter for a few hundred dollars instead of thousands. That's Executive Order 12866 in action. A 5-year journey from congressional mandate to rule on the books, with OIRA reviewing and modifying the rule at two key checkpoints along the way. Here's what's remarkable about Executive Order 12866. No president has revoked it. Not Bush, not Obama, not Trump, and not Biden. They've all kept it as a foundation and layered their own priorities on top. Obama issued Executive Order 13563 in 2011, which reaffirmed EO 12866 but added requirements to consider things that are hard to quantify, like human dignity, equity, and fairness. He also required agencies to periodically look back at their existing rules and clean up ones that were outdated. Trump, in his first term, issued Executive Order 13771, the famous one-in-two-out order. For every new regulation an agency wanted to issue, they had to identify two existing regulations to eliminate. It was a blunt instrument, but it sent a clear signal about deregulatory priorities. Biden issued Executive Order 14094 in 2023, which raised the economic significance threshold from $100 million to $200 million, for the first time in 30 years. He also expanded requirements for agencies to analyze how rules affect different communities, what's called distributional impact analysis. And then Trump, in his second term, made the most consequential structural change since Reagan. Executive Order 14215 extended OIRA review to independent regulatory agencies like the FCC, the SEC, and FERC. These agencies had been exempt from OIRA review since the beginning. For the first time, the White House has formal review authority over the full universe of federal rulemaking. Trump also implemented a 1-in, 10-out mandate, which is the most aggressive deregulatory ratio any president has attempted. And the early data reflects the pace of the new approach. Average OIRA review time under Trump 2.0 has been approximately 45 days. Let me give you the administration by administration numbers. Under Bush, about 4,900 total reviews with 63% of rules modified. Under Obama, about 4,400 reviews, but the modification rate jumped to 81%. In Trump's first term, roughly 1,800 reviews, of which 83% were modified. And in Biden, of about 2,100 reviews, 84.5% were modified. And under Trump 2.0 so far, 600 plus reviews with a 68% modification rate, though 127 reviews are still in progress as of this recording. Every president puts their stamp on it, but the underlying framework of submitting significant rules to OIRA, doing the cost-benefit analysis, and disclosing the meetings, that's all Executive Order 12866. It's been the operating system of the regulatory state for over three decades. That's Executive Order 12866, the blueprint for how the federal government reviews and approves regulations. A roughly 50-person office inside OMB, operating on a $16 million budget, reviewing over 48,000 rules since 1981, modifying nearly 38% of them, and shaping policy across every corner of the federal government. And now, under Trump 2.0, its reach extends to independent agencies for the first time in history. If you want to dive deeper, head to regulationroundup.com. We've got a full blog post on this topic with data, tables, charts, and links to the primary sources. And check out our dashboard at app.regulationroundup.com, where you can actually track OIRA reviews in real time, see what rules are under review right now, how long they've been under review, and what the outcomes have been across administrations. In our next episode, we're going to zoom in on OIRA itself, the most powerful office you've probably never heard of. Who works there? How do they make decisions? And why does a 50-person office have so much influence over the entire federal regulatory system? Until then, I'm Tanner Long. Thanks for listening to Regulation Roundup, the podcast.